Hey there guys, welcome to the second edition of the X's and O's segment. Today we're going to be discussing the Fire Zone scheme made famous by Dick LeBeau in Pittsburgh. Don't know how much people know about this scheme. It's a fairly flexible one. It's not set to be a 3-4 like a lot of people think it is. You can play it from a 4-3, it's just not something that you see all that common. Now the basic premise of the scheme is that you come with 5 blitzers and you essentially you're flexible in where those blitzers come from. You'll normally have 2 linemen coming, one dropping back into a hook zone, and then the 2 blitzers will usually come from the same side if you're going for an overload, or you can mix it up a little bit. Now of course there's a lot of variation in terms of the things you can do behind it coverage wise. You've got all the basic shells you can run, you know, the cover 1, the cover 2, the cover 3. Most commonly you'll see it run from a cover 2, so you'll have the 2 safeties dropped. Occasionally you'll see it rotate into a cover 3. If it's in a cover 3, you'll have the 2 corners dropping back into a deep zone, the 3 safety dropping deep. These are the plays where you'll normally see Polamalu roaming. It's normally a giveaway with Polamalu as to what sort of coverage they're in. If you see Polamalu milling about at the line of scrimmage, as you commonly do in Pittsburgh, it usually means they're coming with a blitz and that they're dropping into a cover 3. So the idea essentially of the fire zone is to confuse a quarterback. It's if a smart quarterback is playing it, which is one of the reasons why the Steelers have really struggled, I feel, against the Pats the last few years, is that if you know which guy is dropping back, obviously some guys, you know, they might have something that gives it away beforehand. If the guy reads the play, then, you know, you've got a defensive end, 280-pound man dropping back into coverage, trying to cover a guy like Wes Welker in the slot or a Rob Gronkowski, it's not going to happen. So essentially it requires really good scheming, and it's one of those things rookie quarterbacks usually cannot handle it, which you saw that with Colt McCoy. He put up a valiant effort his rookie year against the Steelers, but he was never going to get much. You could see that it's really hard to process the information quickly if you're not experienced playing against that sort of scheme, because you just won't see that sort of thing run in college. Generally, if you're running this scheme, you need fairly flexible defensive ends by the standards of a 3-4. You can't quite have the hulking behemoths that a more classic 3-4 scheme will run, because obviously they are going to have to drop back into coverage sometimes. It's one of the reasons Aaron Smith and Brett Kiesel have been really effective for Pittsburgh in the years they've been there. They have a little bit of flexibility in terms of being able to drop back and not be a complete, utter liability. Now, Casey Hampton, on the other hand, you do need that big, big nose tackle, because of course if you're zone blitzing, you're also going to use it against the run. It's not just for coverage. You'll try and guess what side the opponent's running to, and you'll generally try to blitz that side of the line. So you need that one guy that can hold the centre, because not too often are the inside backers going to come, and if they do, it's usually fairly obvious, because you'll see them on a sort of stunt, or I think they call it a cross when linebackers do it. So you really, really need to have that rock solid, pure run stuffing nose tackle that Casey Hampton's been for many, many years now in Pittsburgh.
What other teams run this then? Is it just the Steelers? Or?
Pittsburgh are the ones who made it famous. It's currently being run in Arizona. They do the same thing. The reason they've been able to run it quite effectively last season is simply it turns out that Calais Campbell is an absolute monster. 8 sacks, which is phenomenal for a 3-4 end, and he batted down a lot of passes, even blocked some kicks. He was one of the most underrated players in the league last year. Not a lot of people know who he is. Cardinals tagged him, rightfully so. He's pretty much the perfect sort of versatile end that you would want to run this scheme with. On top of that, they've also got Dan Williams at the nose now, so they're much better built for this scheme than they were a couple of years ago. Now, the thing they lack that the Steelers have is a very good group of blitzing linebackers. Obviously, James Harrison and Lamar Woodley, it's no secret they're 2 of the better edge rushers in the league. I mean, Harrison doesn't get enough credit for quite how good he is all round. He's actually a decent coverage linebacker as well, and he plays the run incredibly well. He's just a top player. I'm pretty sure you could mix him into any scheme and he'd be able to make it work, but obviously his strength is just as a pure pass rusher. just let him go. And because of Woodley, of course, it makes it that much more difficult to predict. They can mix those guys around. They don't even always use them on the outside. You'll see them lining up on the inside as well. That's what makes it so difficult. You just never know who's coming, the way they mill around at the line of scrimmage. You've also got on the inside from one of my old boys from Florida State, Lawrence Timmons. Again, one of those players not a lot of people know about, but again, a top player. We're talking about one of the better coverage linebackers in the league. He's very, very good. He's total all-rounder, does a little bit of everything well, plays the run relatively well. He also has an effective blitzer. James Farrier, has he been released yet?
Yes, he has, from Steelers.
Yeah, Farrier was released, but he was probably the least versatile of the three. The other three guys could do pretty much anything Dick LeBeau wanted. Farrier was the run plugger.
Yeah.
His job was...
I saw that last
year. Yeah, he'd do kind of like a mini version of Bart Scott. He'd just run into lead blockers and let the other guys rally to make the tackle. He was a good blitzer as well. Very good blitzer.
Did the Jets run this scheme at all?
No. Rex Ryan's scheme. I mean, they'll run plays, like the fire zone play, because that's essentially what it is, but it's not the foundation of that scheme, though.
Okay.
They use a lot more... they're based a lot more on overload packages and sort of blitzing to stuff the run. The Steelers, the fire zone isn't a blitz designed to stuff the run. It's actually quite vulnerable to the run. It's actually just a testament to how good the Steelers players are at playing the scheme, that they're so dominant against the run year in, year out. Because if you can imagine, you know, you've got that left end dropping back into coverage, that linebacker coming. Now, if you get a good block on that linebacker that's coming from that side, the James Harrison, your fullback manages to lead through, perhaps get the inside backer that's on that side, you've got a defensive end in space against the running back. That's not going to go well too often, so you really need to be smart with this sort of thing.
Yeah. So this scheme is set up to put pressure on the quarterback.
It's set up to confuse the quarterback, and it blitzes five men. It is designed to put pressure on, but not a huge amount. If you look at like the Jets, the difference is when the Jets are blitzing to put pressure on, they're normally, like the Eagles as well, they're trying to bring more guys than you can block.
Yeah,
that's the idea. This is essentially, it kind of runs like a more aggressive cover two.
Okay.
You're generally going to have those two deep safeties, and then you're just going to see what kind of happens underneath. Again, it's one of those schemes that works really well if you've got an intelligent core group of linebackers. I think it's the most underrated trait in the league generally, especially amongst linebackers. The good teams have linebackers that read plays and react, because that's what makes a play. Every play has a vulnerability, and the only way to overcome it is with smart linebacker and safety play generally. So you really need to have those guys on the ball to make these kind of schemes work. It really is a testament to like the quality of guys like James Farrier, and to be fair, James Harrison, in terms of managing to get it over the years, because apparently he was a nightmare to work with before he merged with the Steelers, probably why he was cut a couple of times. Imagine what the Ravens would be like if they'd kept James Harrison.
It would be silly.
Terrell Suggs and James Harrison, that would have been terrifying.
Good linebackers.
Yeah, well, they call Suggs a linebacker. He's a defensive end.
Yeah, but they move him around a lot.
They do, but not nearly as much as people would have you think. He probably plays about 80% of his snaps at right end. So it's a bit of a misnomer that he's considered a linebacker. But, you know, what can you do? I mean, the thing on the team, you do need to have that one good coverage speed backer. I suppose the Cardinals have that guy in Darrell Washington.
Yeah.
Now, if you watch Darrell Washington play, he just needs to get it a bit more. He's got the speed, he's a good tackler, but he overruns a lot of plays. So it's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You'll see him make a lot of mistakes, usually overrunning a play, getting there a little too early, that kind of thing. He really needs to resolve that to sort his game. I mean, the problem that the Cardinals have running this scheme at the moment is, bar maybe Sam Acho, who showed a bit as a rookie last year, they don't have any outside backers that you believe will constantly bring pressure. Something they really have to try and address this off-season if they're going to make the scheme work properly.
What are the corners doing in this scheme?
The corners, they're pretty much running it like the cover two last week. They'll play a hard corner. Because you, again, as I said, because the scheme isn't great against the run, theoretically. You want to have that hard corner, and it's got pretty much the same vulnerabilities of the cover too. If you're just playing off the guys all the time, you know, then they're going to be able to run those slants all day long, yeah, and just abuse those sort of underneath routes. So you want to play them hard, and you want to take away that outside run, because of course if you've got a defensive end in contain on the outside as opposed to the blitzing linebacker, yeah, that's not going to work out too well when you've got a guy like LeSean McCoy running a sweep or something like that, and you've got, you know, Brett Keisel chasing after him, yeah, trying to keep contain. It's not going to end too well. And it's much same thing, as I said, sometimes they will shift it to a cover three. You will see that, in which case, you know, they're just dropping back into the deep zone. You'll have Ryan Clark, using the Steelers as an example, over the top, Polamalu doing what Polamalu does, which is essentially guess most plays.
Yeah, from what I've seen, it does look like Polamalu just guesses when he's on.
Well, he gets it right quite a lot. He's an instinctive player. It's just he guesses a little too much, but he's a strong safety. He can get away with that a little more. The scheme does try to cover up for that. That's essentially the cover three kind of allows him to be that wild card, because he doesn't have a strict coverage responsibility necessarily, well, with the way they utilise him. I mean, people always try to compare him to Ed Reed, which is something that just generally irritates me. They're two totally different types of player.
Yeah.
Ed Reed is your classic free safety, you know, centre fielder. You just bung him back as the last man deep, let him see what happens and make his way to the ball, and he'll make stuff happen. Polamalu is more of a, you know, he'll force plays. He will try and make stuff happen behind the line of scrimmage, blitzes a lot. Will play a lot of strange sort of coverage positions, you know, running them little like hook zones, occasionally dropping into flats, all kind of strange stuff. So it always really kind of irks me when people compare the two, because the thing is, the free safety and strong safety positions are both so different,
yeah,
when they're played in the sort of manner they're intended. I mean, most teams don't really have a pure strong safety anymore. The position, because of the sort of prevalence of the cover two these days, or schemes that use two deep safeties, in general, you pretty much everyone plays like a free safety most of the time. I suppose the two probably purest strong safeties are actually both in these fire zone schemes, Adrian Wilson with Arizona and Polamalu. Everyone else is pretty much coverage,
yeah,
a coverage based safety. I suppose you have Roy Williams as well, although I don't even know if he's playing for anybody anymore. He was with the Bengals a couple of years ago.
I'm not sure.
I have not kept track of Roy Williams in the last in the last year, so it's not really too much of a loss. What else is there really to say about the team? I mean, if you're attacking it, as I said before, you're looking to just try and read it. It's similar with the run. If you can get them with something like a counter, you fake going the way of the blitz and then can go the other way. It's really vulnerable to that. Of course, you know, if the blitz works, sometimes you won't even get the opportunity to make that cutback.
Yeah.
Especially with against the Steelers again, because they are so, so good at executing this scheme against the run. It's also quite a good way of getting blocked. You know, it does allow, theoretically, the blockers to get to the second level more, get onto the linebackers, which can leave you with gaps. I mean, essentially, you know, the weakness of the scheme is that you're putting players into positions they're not physically designed to play. So, again, those slot receivers, those guys running those drag routes across the middle, the defensive end can only do so much. You can't blame the defensive end when it all goes wrong and the guy beats him in coverage. He doesn't have the physical tools required to play it well. That's really the problem. You really see this, again, because it uses that cover two shell, you know, the weaknesses are up the seams between the two safeties, the seams between the corners and the deep safety. Those are the real weaknesses, and of course the short routes. Again, it's one of those schemes that's also reliant on rallying to the ball. Because of the pressure that's brought, it's much like the cover two in that you're forcing the opponent to go short because of the pressure you're bringing.
Okay.
So quickly, because you're overloading one side, it means you're going to get a free runner more often than not. Now, you know, the good quarterbacks are going to recognise that and they are going to get rid of the ball. But again, much like the cover two last week, you're relying on your guys to be able to swarm to the ball, make the tackle. I mean, the Steelers, basically they managed to make it work just because, so effectively for the years, because they just, you can't run on them. No one has consistently run on the Steelers over the like the last decade.
Yeah,
it's just been an absolute massacre for teams trying to do it. It just never ever works. So because they're forcing him into the strength of the D, because they're so good against the run, it, that's what's enabled them to be so successful with it. LeBeau is obviously one of the greatest defensive minds in the history of the game. He has a great feel for the game in terms of what plays to call and when. Really good sense of opposing tendencies. You can see it against the rookies especially. The Steelers' game plan is always good against rookie quarterbacks because he just blitzes relentlessly, but not with tons of players. Just from strange positions that this quarterback will have never dealt with. And usually he'll do it in a way that's different to what has been put on tape in the last couple of weeks. They kind of have enough in the locker. You know, they've been playing the scheme long enough that they can really mix up the ways they come after you. That's the real advantage of the scheme, because you can blitz with, you know, you don't know where this blitz is coming from. You know, you could have James Harrison dropping back and you could have the two linebackers crossing around Casey Hampton. You force movement when you run those kind of crosses.
Yeah.
Offensive linemen, you know, if they don't communicate well, they don't see something well, this is where things can really go wrong. You'll see a lot of free plays because Casey Hampton's like, you know, bulldozed up the middle as much as he can, because you know, he tends not to get very far, but you know, he'll force a second guy onto him, one guy will loop round. And if the fullback doesn't notice, or I don't know, the unoccupied tackle because James Harrison's dropped back doesn't notice, he's got a free run, and you know, a guy with the speed of Lawrence Timmons is going to make that tackle on the quarterback. Yeah. Most of the time. Essentially, you need to have really good communication if you're going to play against this scheme. The O-line really, really needs to know what it's doing. You really need to have a, ideally, I suppose, like playing most 3-4s, if you've got an elite center who's strong enough to hold up at the point, it's a real advantage to you because it frees up the rest of your linemen to essentially block one-on-one, possibly with, you know, some tight end help, and of course the running back help is an option. It's just, it's really hard to find a guy that can block a guy like Casey Hampton one-on-one just because of the size and strength of him.
Yeah,
and you just have to account for so, you have to account for so many different things when you play that Steelers D on offense. That's what makes it difficult. You're calling a play, you just never know what's coming. The cover two is essentially the total opposite. It's the most predictable thing. You know, you've got four guys coming. Occasionally they'll show you a blitz and it might catch you off guard because you don't expect it, because it's such a rare thing from like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of 10 years ago, or you know, the Colts. So rarely do they do it, but with the Steelers, you know, they don't blitz every down as well. They will drop guys back, they will play pure cover two at times. Dick LeBeau knows the cover two. He was in the league when this, you know, all came about, so he's well aware of these things. He just does such a great job scheming. But yeah, it's like most schemes. The strength of it is the linebackers, as they really, really do make it work down there. In Pittsburgh, it's going to be interesting to sort of see how they try and rebuild the D, because of course that D line, yeah, getting really old now. It's getting up there. They weren't quite as dominant last year as we've been accustomed to. Still very good. Don't buy into, you know, all the talk that was going on Total Access about, oh, the Steelers D is old and falling apart. No, not at all. They're not playing
it. Still looks strong.
It's still a rock solid D. I mean, the worry you've got is Casey Hampton. And I suppose Aaron Smith is gone now, but they haven't had him much for the last 3 years. I think he's played like 12 games in the last 3 years.
Yeah,
that's not much. And I love Brett Kiesel mainly because of the beard, but he's not an irreplaceable kind of player.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose the worry is Ziggy Hood, who was their first rounder a couple of years ago, stepped in. He's not been great, but you know, they got what's his name last year in the draft. It was the son of Ironhead Hayward, that's it, Cameron Hayward.
Yeah.
Good thing I remembered his dad. yeah, they got him, so that they're clearly, they know that's what they have to rebuild. They know that's the strength of the team. I mean, the Cardinals are in a much sort of different position. They run the scheme in the same way, but they don't quite have, I feel they've got D-line there, because Dan Williams is a big old nose tackle.
Oh, yeah.
Darnell Dockett's quite effective for this kind of scheme. He is fairly versatile. He's a bit overrated, in my opinion. But he's a good player. Campbell's a monster. You can do a lot of things with him. He's so athletic.
Yeah.
He's 6'8". 6'8". And he can move like that. It's just ludicrous. Got Darryl Washington there. Don't know who they're going to have playing middle linebacker next to him, but they need a bigger guy so that can take on the blockers to free these guys up. Because Washington is undersized. He's one of these small, speedy coverage backers. They need to have that Bart Scott, I'm going to run head first into a guard or a fullback and just try and blow him up, take us both out of the play kind of guys. And they need to get some pass rushers on the outside. I think Acho has some potential there, but they really need to find a top level guy. If they can, you know, spend a lot of money getting, maybe, because there's not many guys like that coming out this year, maybe go for like Mario Williams if the Bidwells, you know, decide to actually spend money for once.
He'd
be a valid option. But I suppose they also have the advantage though in that they can be a bit more flexible in terms of the coverage they can play, with Patrick Peterson at corner now, and Richard Marshall played really well last year after coming over from the Panthers. He was, I think, the defensive coordinator Rod Graves last year, he said he was the MVP of the D. And I can get that, because they when Kerry Rhodes went down, they played him at nickel last year, they played him at free safety, they played him at corner, and he did all of them pretty effectively. He actually turned out to be one of the bargains of last offseason, which isn't spoke about too much.
Yeah.
She's one of the reasons why I think Patrick Peterson was such a great pickup for the Cardinals, because if you can run that scheme flexibly, then with the coverages you can call behind to the blitzes, then you've got so many more options for what you can throw at the opponent. I really rated Patrick Peterson. I had him rated as the best player coming out in last year's draft. So
he looked good last year.
He took a while to get it at corner,
yeah,
but that wasn't a surprise to me. Corner is a tough position to learn, particularly. Yes, he is. And Richard Marshall really stepped up, so it'll be interesting to see how things go for them. You got any sort of questions about how the scheme works in general? The sort of roles of players?
No, I've asked a few times.
Yeah, cool. I'll just go through like a sort of quick physical attributes thing, I suppose. That's all I can think of that I'd need to cover. I'll maybe go about some other offensive stuff as I think of it. I mean, a nose tackle, my favourite position in the league. The zero technique, plays directly over the centre.
Yeah.
Just your giant behemoth of 350 pounds, doesn't really need to be much else. Just strong, holding the point. If you can offer pass rush, great. If he doesn't, oh well, you deal with that. His job is just a two gap. Simple as that. You know, make sure he's blocked by two guys all the time. Very rarely make tackles. I mean, if you've seen Casey Hampton's career numbers, pitiful in terms of, you know, tackles, sacks, very, very few. But you ask anybody who knows the game, he's been one of the key cogs to their dominance defensively in the last few years. Your defensive ends, again, they're going to be the bigger breed of defensive end, your sort of 280, 290, sort of 6'4 kind of guys. You generally want to have one of them who's a bit more versatile, can offer you a bit of pass rush, just so you've got the option of going to a 4-3 from time to time and having him play as a pure edge guy. But they need to be versatile. They need to be able to two gap if need be. They need to be able to drop back in coverage to, you know, for at least 2 or 3 seconds before they get beat.
Yeah.
You know. Then I suppose your backers. The backers, you know, there's so much you can have from the outside backers. Because, I mean, you look at a guy like DeMarcus Ware, who I suppose is your prototypical, like, Lawrence Taylor, physical freak kind of guy. Massive, fast, strong, just your freaks of nature, like your Mario Williams, that just don't come along very often. But you've seen a lot of these smaller guys, I mean, quite a fair. I mean, James Harrison is not a particularly big dude, like, height-wise. There are much more physically gifted backers, but he plays so well with leverage. Because he's quite short, he does a really good job of getting underneath people's pads. That's why his ball rush is so effective, because he just gets that underneath leverage, just pushes people back. And Lamar Woodley is more of a speed rusher than a pure ball rusher, but he can do it as well. It's really amazing how well they've coached him to be able to do it in both ways. But then any of these guys would be like 250, 260 weight-wise, 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
maybe a bit bigger. Your inside back is, you're going to have that bigger Bart Scott type guy. He's going to be about 250, 260. And his job is just going to be to run into people as hard as he possibly can, just to take them both out of the play, the seek and destroy home in missile, yeah, as I like to think of them. And then you're going to have, I mean, the other back, you can be flexible with it, but you probably would, I figure, want that smaller coverage backer like your Darryl Washington, who's got the speed to play sideline to sideline, fill a more traditional 4-3 middle linebacker kind of role for you, so that you can drop him back into, like, the, if you're playing like a Tampa 2 for the odd play, you know, he can drop down into that hole. You'll see Lawrence Timmons do it fairly often with the Steelers. And then, of course, you know, the corners are going to be generally zone corners, which is what I think the Steelers are probably a better example of this again, with guys like Ike Taylor, who isn't the most gifted corner in the world, but they've done a really good job with him. I mean, the Steelers have never really had a name at corner, much like you look at any sort of team that runs these cover two sort of shells on the outside. You'll rarely see, you know, a dominant corner, just because of, well, they can be dominant, but not in a way that's flashy. People don't notice zone corners. You don't need to have a superstar that can, you know, lock a guy down if you're going to run that kind of scheme. So that's kind of the advantage that they have. You know, you can just plug and play smart enough guys in. Obviously, they need to be those willing tacklers, like I spoke about last week with the cover two, because they pretty much fulfill the same role. You know, come in on sealing the edge, contain, that kind of thing. And then safeties are safeties. You do whatever you deal with, whatever you can get. Polamalu's quite unique, let's face it.
Yeah.
So he's slowing down a bit, but still a very good player. Always been a little overrated in my mind, but still a top player. I mean, offensively, is there anything I've sort of missed out? Yeah, I suppose, like, the real weakness of it is, actually, can be if a team's going into nickel, forcing you into a nickel situation, you're pretty much going to have to kind of change out of that plan and bring in five guys if they're spreading you out and you're in your nickel and dime package. You know, you've got those four corners in, it can be difficult. You will see the Steelers blitz with DBs. They have no problem doing it, but that's just because they're confident.
Yeah.
The Cardinals don't do it nearly as much. They might start next year because that D was really playing well at the end of last year, but yeah, that's really the way to try and stop a fire zone from being a fire zone. Is simply spread it out, because then it becomes a lot easier to read where the blitz is coming from, if it is, because you can see when that corner's sort of edging up, playing way too close, because you're not going to see it. You know, people don't use press in the slot. I've heard people say, oh, Thingy's so good at pressing the slot. No, it does happen, but it's rare. Because if you understand how press works, you know, you're forcing them to the outside, to the sideline. You try and press them one way in the slot, they can just go the other, or look, they're wide open.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it's just one of my pet peeves. It always annoys me when people say it. So yeah, it becomes a bit more predictable, which is probably why, you know, you saw it with the Packers Steelers Super Bowl, where Steelers just weren't coming after Rodgers like you'd normally see a team going after Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Well, the Steelers normally going after a team. Rodgers actually had a fair bit of time. I mean, the Steelers do have the advantage in that Harrison and Woodley are such good pass rushers that they don't really need to throw guys at teams. It's what makes that D so effective, is just the versatility of it in pretty much every regard. But yeah, if you can spread it out, it's a bit more difficult to run. It does have its weaknesses, but when it's well executed, it's just one of those Ds that can be really, really difficult to stop.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Yeah, it's just intimidating, confusing, all that kind of stuff. And it does get a lot of hits on a quarterback, is the thing. Because, alright, early on in the game, you know, they might be getting those plays, but you're going to be getting hits. You're going to get the old free runner, and even if he makes that slant for like 8 yards, if you get a good enough hit on a quarterback, defensive coordinator is going to feel good about it.
Yeah.
He's going to say, good play, good job, guys, we did our thing. It can be really hard to get into a rhythm against this kind of D, because you never really know how much time you're going to get. Quarterback has to be very aware the whole time, so he's not often going to get those, you know, big pockets. You know, you get that against cover two and there's four guys coming, every so often it's just going to be well blocked, no matter who your D-line is.
Yeah.
Every so often he's going to have all day in the pocket, whereas the Steelers will very rarely let that happen. The amount of movement that they kind of have before the snap as well really sort of tests those communication levels, as I've already mentioned. So, yeah, I think that just about covers it. Anyone has any questions at all, because there may be stuff I've missed, then just give us a shout. We're always available on the NFL UK forums. We've got contact details all over the Podomatic page, which hopefully we'll have updated soon. Make it look a bit flashier. So yeah, just give us a shout and I'll be happy to cover them next week. I haven't actually decided what I'm covering next week, scheme wise. I don't know if I might go for like an offensive one. Yeah. I don't want to do the West Coast offense.
There you go, guys. It might be a bit of a surprise for you what we're doing next week.
Well, if people suggest something.
Yeah.
I don't want something non-NFL related, though. I don't want someone to give me like some obscure college offense from like the 40s. Like the wishbone offense or something along those lines, because I don't know.
But yeah, guys, if you've got any schemes that you want him to go over, just give us a shout.
Yeah, I might go over zone blitzing early on just to sort of explain it, because it will make this one make more sense. I probably should have done zone blitzing first.
Yeah.
But that'll only be brief because most of it's been covered in this. So yeah, next week I'll briefly explain zone blitzing, and yeah, give us a shout and I'll probably do your request.
And check out the podcast on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. Let's face it, it's been a busy week in the NFL. So have a good one, guys.
Catch you later.